How's it going, Sha?
It's not bad. It's not bad. You know, from what I can tell, the weather seems to be nice.
Yeah.
Where we are, anyway. I've only been in it briefly to go to work or the laundromat. It looks like there's a nice breeze going.
Okay.
But that breeze is also picking up pollen and then just throwing it in the faces very disrespectfully. I've opted to watch it, you know, dole out its abuse from behind a window.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm sure it feels refreshing. It's nice to feel refreshed when you can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know.
Low key, that's a perk in New York.
Yes.
Yeah, real talk. I like that. Okay. Enjoy the fresh air, you know, or the illusion of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also seem better, healthier.
Well, okay. Last week I was definitely sick. Right. For sure sick. And then got to a level of the, you know how there are parts of a cold where you'll work through and then parts where you're like, oh, I need to I just need to sit still.
Yeah.
So I had a night of just like, I can't do anything, but I know over that hump, I can probably do something. So I got over that hump. And I got well enough to get on a plane to go to Portland, Oregon to do my solo show.
Oh yeah.
And so that ended up fine. Now the way out there, like my flight was delayed a couple of hours, but you know, that's going to happen. And you know, sleeping weird or whatever, trying to find food where I could. I guess I ate something that disagreed with me because day one was me getting there and doing the show. Day two was me being violently ill, still having to do another show. Day three was me buying a ticket much earlier in the day to get out of there.
Yeah.
So I am better, but man, what a journey it was.
No doubt.
It could have just been a regular, I'm better, but now I'm like, no, I've really overcome something. And then last night I didn't really sleep because my head is just full of mucus, I guess, which I guess is probably left over from the cold and the pollen being thrown in my face disrespectfully. So I just kept waking up every 5 minutes like, just gasping for air. So I am better is what I'm saying. I am better for sure. Am I 100%? I feel like percentages go down as you get older. Will you ever be 100% again?
It's like an iPhone battery. Like you can't get to 100 anymore.
We definitely are past the contract years.
Yeah. Fully charged, you get to 87 now. You know?
Right. Yes, exactly. I am now.
I'm glad you're doing somewhat better. I'm glad you got through the shows?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real fluke, man. That second one was just stand up. So I didn't have to think about the show.
Okay.
I just needed to have an idea as what order. It was a real flu game situation though, my man. I was back there just like, I ate a couple of mints and that made me feel better. That's how bad it was. Anything was just like, how do we fix what's happening in here?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So a couple of mints just kind of held me together by my edges. And I went out there and had a great set.
Okay.
And then went backstage and then Dulce went out and I was just back there like, oh, this must be the bad pizza that Michael Jordan was talking about.
Did you tape it? I hope that, like, I
no,
love
of
stuff
course
like
not. Why would
like
I tape that?
That?
Why would I tape it?
I feel for you on this. I feel like, I'm hoping that you've been to Portland before because I feel like if you're that sick, the only time you go somewhere, it kind of colors the experience, you know?
Oh, I still think Portland is fine.
Okay, good.
I've been there before for Bridgetown. I was there for one of those, the very last one. You know me, I shut down a comedy festival. And I, the day before I got sick, and even the morning before, in the day that I got sick, I walked around the neighborhood that was surrounding the place where I was staying.
Okay.
And it seemed fine. You know, I took a walk and everything. Well, I was like, oh, this is fine. This is a fine little town. You know, I get it. I was very bummed because the day that I was very sick was the day that I had slotted for going out to find like thrift store art.
Okay.
Because I'm sure Portland is just dripping in the kind of thrift store art I'm looking for, but I just couldn't make it.
Oh man.
I was just wrapped up in a coil on my bed. Not even fetal, just completely in a perfect spiral. So, you know,
I always enjoy, like, I've gotten sick a few times on the road, and like I try not to be a jerk when I stay somewhere like a hotel or an Airbnb. So I try to put things in a way that's like manageable for the team that comes to like clean or the hotel staff. But when I've gotten sick, like I don't have the energy to do that. And like, I'll look at the room before I leave, like, yo, these people gonna have questions. Like, none of this makes sense. You know, like, why is it like, you know, why are these these like bed sheets on like the stoop, or like, you know, like.
No, here's the thing. They won't have questions.
Nah,
they do this all the time. Not all the time.
So.
Not in a way of like, so go ahead, smear shit on the walls. They do it all the time. I mean, like, I like to think that they understand, like, oh, okay, you're kind of at a, this is a person at a low point. They're probably sick. It's a lot like, you know, unfortunately, a little bit like stripping the beds in a hospital, maybe.
I've definitely been like, I can think of two occasions where I had a fever and I had to do a show. Mm-hmm. And then when I got home, got to the hotel, I was in that weird place where I'm cold and hot.
Yes.
So I would wrap myself in the quilt blanket but fall asleep on the balcony.
Okay. Yes.
You know, like, it was just the only place that made sense to my body. Like, this is right. It's too whatever in here. It's not enough. And I would wake up in the morning and I like drag myself through the getting ready to leave and like look at the room and like, none of these things are in the right place. None of this makes sense.
Nah, they'll come through and they'll just go, huh, I wonder what happened here. And then just keep putting things and disinfecting, hopefully, and all of that stuff. Like, but I understand what you mean. I usually don't have anyone come in and clean unless it is a dire emergency or from someplace for a long time.
Right.
I'll have, like, I was once in a place for like 2 weeks and I feel like I had them come in maybe 2 or 3 times in that 2 weeks time. Cause I'm just like, look here, man, whatever I'm doing in here, you shouldn't necessarily be privy to it. There's a lot of money in it for you. Just keep them towels coming and we'll be fine. But it's not like it's a, I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm not doing anything terrible in there. I'm like, I don't want to have to get ready for someone to come through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm probably in a state where I'm like, I don't want to have to, I got it. I'll clean it up.
Yeah, I don't want to explain. Just be like, listen, this is between me and the room, okay?
Right.
Yes. You know what I mean? You can see what happened after I've left and like disappeared, okay? But I don't want you to know what I've went through.
Exactly. Just consider this tip hush money.
I like that. I like that philosophy. So. I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad I'm glad the shows went well. I feel like I'm the day before I can't work.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I when I woke up today, like, I felt sick, but I could get through today.
Yes.
But like, every now and then I'll feel like a very different type of sweat hit my forehead.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, that's not a, I'm not working hard. I've been sitting down this whole time, you know, like, yeah. You
or,
know,
every once in a while, you know what your sneeze is supposed to feel like, yeah. And what it's supposed to conjure. And every once in a while you get a sneeze and you're like, oh no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No,
I came from a different place.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what nostril did you get? No, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Like, I legit think, like, sneezes is how, like, God checks your EQ. You know, like.
Okay. Talk to me, sound man. What are you talking? How? How?
Like, I think you have a consistently sounding sneeze.
Okay.
And, like, every now and then, like, you know, God slips and, like, knocks over the settings.
Okay.
You know, so, like, he makes you a little sick so you can knock out a couple sneezes and mm-hmm. you can reset your EQ. That's okay. Why your voice gets weird when you get a cold. It's just him like, oh, nah, I got to fix that. My bad. Give me a second. You know, I had a party yesterday.
I'd say that's the point post-cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that being what's happening after at the end of a cold where you just sound, where you're like, I feel better. I don't know if I sound better, but I definitely feel better. And so you're like, I feel fine. And then you talk to someone, they're like, ooh, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh.
You know, and it's okay, it's because all the tweeters are blown out, you know? And,
yeah, I guess that's what's happening. Yeah, yeah, so I could see that because I definitely was talking to myself today, as I do every day. I'm a big talker to myselfer.
I
just like laying out what my plans were for the next few hours, just talking to the cat, if that makes any of us feel better about all the talking that was happening. I was telling the cat, well, here's how we'll work it. We'll take a quick shower. I'll put on this and this, and then I'll do the laundry and then blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, And, but as I'm talking to myself, I hear me and I'm like, oh, I sound weird. I sound weird, but I'm sure it'll be fine. I don't feel weird.
Okay.
Importantly, I don't feel weird, but I'm sure if I heard a recording of myself, I probably sound a little weird.
Yeah. So good. We game through it. We powered through it. You are in New York, don't expect me to do too many spots this weekend.
Yeah, definitely rest. Whatever this is, it's just zipping through everybody.
That's it.
It's just an old school cold, you know, with a checklist of just like, who haven't I seen?
Yeah, it's saying hi. Yeah. It's getting friendly.
Yeah, it's okay, everyone. But also still check for COVID because y'all nasty motherfuckers are still out here. And I don't, you know, I'm not calling people with COVID nasty. I'm just saying nasty people are out here. You know, don't think you can't get got.
Mm-hmm. It's out here. Tapping all your shoulders.
Yeah, it's still out here. There was some seminar that the CDC threw and in April and people are coming out of that with COVID. So the CDC had a seminar.
That's awesome.
And everybody's coming out of that with COVID. So, you know, you ain't special.
Real talk. The epitome of everybody can get it. I like it.
I saw a tweet yesterday where some guy was saying that, you know, that there are still people who are brainwashed and are out here wearing masks because they've been brainwashed. Okay, fine. And then he said, it appears that the majority of them are Black women who have been brainwashed. And it's a shame to see Black women in masks brainwashed, trusting the government and thinking that the government will help them. And I was like, okay, first of all, I don't think anyone who's wearing a mask right now trusts the government.
Yeah, that Venn diagram don't make sense.
I dare say is the opposite. Also, just judging by my counts on the train when I go to work, he ain't wrong. We the only ones on the train wearing masks. We really are.
Hold strong, baby. I love it.
Yeah, and then a lot of people went at this dude like, you fucking idiot. But some people were like, well, what about Asian people? I see Asian people doing it too. And this guy came back with, well, they've been doing it for years. You know, they've been brainwashed from wherever they're from, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you're a certifiably crazy person. Check. But yeah, I'm just like, why? What a weird thing to put out there.
Very.
Just like black women have been brainwashed by the government and that's why they're still wearing masks. I mean, or maybe we just don't want your nasty droplets. Like, I just feel like if any of us, if we all took this time to go like, yeah, maybe we should just wear these things in a couple of places that are kind of gross.
Yeah.
You know, just like think about it, you know, like we were okay with so many things before, but we also just kept getting sick. Like,
no,
maybe we shouldn't. Like, why do we have to go back to those things?
Gabby gets in a mood of like I asked her about it and she says, her general rule now is if I don't know you, we wear a mask. Mm-mm. So like if we go to a barbecue with like friends, I'm not going to force it. But like, kids got an appointment. I don't know everybody there. Everybody wearing a mask. I'm the worst of us. Like the kids listen. I'm like, I'm not wearing a mask. I've gotten used to not wearing a mask. I'm not anti wearing the mask. It's just, I'm back to not wearing the mask. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but if you don't wear the mask, it's like none of us wore the mask because you're going to bring the non-mask energy back to the house. So you wearing a mask if we going. And now I wear a mask everywhere that she thinks she feels uncomfortable at. But that's a general rule. She's like, if there's guests invited to the party and I don't know them, I'm wearing a mask. If the kids are there, they got kid friends, we wearing masks.
Right.
Because like, I don't know that group. I want to be able to at least trace it to know like, oh, did that? Because then I trust my friends enough that like, if you got COVID today, you would tell me.
Right.
You know, so she's like, you know, it is what it is. Like, at least I could kind of track back what happened and I could be accurate when telling my doctor. But like, if I get COVID out in the streets, I might not even know to read for it, you know, or it could be something else. And I'm like caught naked. So she's like, No, everybody's masked up in this house when we go places.
Straight up. I mean, honestly, that's a great rule of thumb of just like, if I don't know everyone there, I'm wearing a mask. That's a wonderful rule of thumb to have. Also, I don't know how many families or couples I saw where the woman was wearing a mask and the man was not. So I'm like, yep, that goes right. I mean, and I don't mean like recently. I mean, in the thick of things.
That's wild.
Where I was just like, okay, well, I mean, I guess if you're open enough to, or if you're strong enough to open up a jar of pickles, you're strong enough to fight COVID or whatever.
I guess. I didn't follow that at all. That felt like I feel like, if one of us wore a mask, one of us didn't, that's like borderline being like, oh, this is an open marriage, but only for me. You know, like we both going to pay the same repercussions, you know, but only one of you gets, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not right.
What if that is what the new open marriage is, the open relationship is just who's wearing a mask where?
Yo, straight up. That's how, it made sense to me. Like, yeah, it's disrespectful. Yeah. You know, so I wear the mask. Boom.
I'm willing to bet there are a lot more open relationships now if we apply that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are listeners who are like, huh. Yeah, yep. Your relationship is open.
This whole time, you know what I mean?
Congrats.
Let's get into the news.
All righty.
A man returns an overdue library book nearly 100 years after it was checked out. That's right. An overdue library book was returned to a Northern California library after nearly 100 years, 96 to be exact. It was checked out in 1927 and was recently returned to St. Helena Public Library, roughly 65 miles north of San Francisco. The man who returned the book did not share many details aside from mentioning something about his father. Okay, said Chris Creedon, director of the library. One of my staff members brought it. They came up and said, somebody had returned that book. They thought it was really cool. Creedon said it was a really old book and we didn't realize quite how old it was. The book, A History of the United States by Benson Lansing, was published in 1892. The book isn't in great shape and is missing a spine, Creedon told the outlet. It was among the first titles available for readers in the community to check out when the library was considered a subscription service. Back then, it would cost about 25 cents a month to check out books. The overdue bill is estimated to be about $1,700, but I don't think we would have charged that much at any point. Staff at the library had no idea where the book could have been all this time, and Creedon told the outlet, this is the first time the library has seen a book checked out so long ago.
Wow.
That's solid.
That's wild. Where's the spine of this book?
You wanted a memento, yo, you know?
That's pretty cool. I kind of like that libraries were once a streaming service.
Right, you paid
25 cents a month and you just checked out books.
Yo, OG Netflix right there. Yeah, that's kind of hard.
That's kind of funny. I mean, I think I prefer it now that it's free and you just pay when it's late, but
this is on an honor system. Like, yeah, just kind of shows the address that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we'll believe that you're around here.
Yeah, that's wild. I wonder, I'm sure this guy probably just found it in the bottom of something. Probably, it was probably his grandfather's, honestly.
Yeah. I definitely think there's something that happened with him and his dad. Like, I think he's trying to make it right, you know? You know, my dad was an evil man. You know, he loved American history, specifically up to 1892. anything after that, he wasn't quite on board with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's just kind of wild. That's great. What's the longest you've had a library book out for?
I was really big on the library as a kid. But I rarely did late books, but I would recheck stuff out often.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had like a couple of books that I would say I like soft owned for about a year. Yeah. Like there were a couple of like History of the Yankee books that definitely had for a long time. I was real big on baseball back then. Mm-hmm. I went through a poker phase in like fourth grade where like I read a lot about like how to play poker.
In fourth grade?
Yeah, I got into like gambling like really early. I read about poker. I read about how to play dominoes, how to shoot dice, how to be a bookie. I read like all these weird like gambling books in fourth grade. I got really into the idea of making a living outside of culture.
Wow. You know? So you've been a hustler since day one?
Yeah. Like I inspired by maybe more stuff, you know?
Inspired by hustling.
Yeah. I love the whole idea of it. So yeah, like I had like a,
that's an album title, by the way. Gastor Almonte. Inspired by hustling.
Yeah, there's a poker book called The Super System that it's like a chapter. There's a lot of chapters describing every single type of poker. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gives you a brief like rundown of how each of them works. But they're all written by like famous Texas gamblers. And like it got famous when poker blew up in like 2003, but like right. I read it like as a fourth grader, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm into this. It's good times." Man,
that's wild.
Yeah, how about you?
I don't know what book it was, but I know that when we moved from New York to Atlanta, I definitely had a book or two from the Brooklyn Library in my collection.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely was like, oh, I think we were supposed to return that. And respect. My mom just being like, well, it's too late now. I guess it's yours. Yeah, but I don't even know where those books have gone. What they were probably like some, you know, some kids fiction, something or other, because I was 8.
Okay.
When we moved. But I definitely was reading like at a higher level.
Yeah.
But I can't think of what the books were. But I just know that we did not return them. And I definitely checked them out from like the Brooklyn Library. That's like the big old branch.
Oh, okay. That's
like by Grand Army Plaza. Like that's the library we went to. That huge library.
Oh.
Was close enough to our house. So, you know, I went in there when I moved back here. I went in there and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to walk in. They're going to fucking have my picture up behind the. If you see, here's how this woman would look now. She was 8. Checked out in 1980. But here's how she would look now. And it's just a picture of an 8-year-old me with like gray hair stenciled on it.
Oh man. She's like, they read her book pretty often in school, blind. I always confuse her with the Helen Keller. Am I thinking of the right young lady?
Wait, hold on. They have books about Helen Keller.
Yeah, right. I always confuse her with Anne Frank and like way too often. Yeah. I've done that a lot in my life. Yeah, we read those like the same month. So like there's a lot of overlap in my head about them.
That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. One. And two, you can't be the only one. Be the only one who gets Helen Keller confused with Anne Frank.
Yo, it's just a thing. Like I crosswired them. I know it was the same year in school and like I can't untangle it. Like I always have to like really like concentrate. Like, okay, this is the one with the diary is this one. So it has to be the other one, you know?
Okay, well, since we're being honest, I don't think I read The Diary of Anne Frank.
Okay.
Or we covered some of it, but our teacher was just like, she just lived in the attic with a few families and they were hiding. And that's literally it. So I don't really know the details of what happens to Anne Frank.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. We never read it. They didn't really press it.
I feel like your teacher was so jaded by that story. We could be bringing people with real struggles, you know?
I feel there may have been, this was Georgia in the early 80s. There may have been like a, why are we teaching them? There may have been some anti-Semitic sentiment.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yo.
Because there were definitely Jewish kids in my school.
Yeah.
But we're also in the South, so they probably didn't even, they either downplayed it or they just didn't, you know, talk about it or they were not, whatever. But yeah, right. So it was just like, there's this kid wrote a diary. She's hiding up in the attic. Anyway, next up, let's talk about the Confederacy again. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
You know, the room where like, you know, if you're lucky, they let you convert it into the cool bedroom. Yeah. She was complaining about hiding there. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah. So this wasn't, I was like, maybe this is just one of those things that I blocked. Like I learned a lot. And once we took the test on it, I was like, I'm sure I don't need to know this anymore. But now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, no, I actually never read that book.
Yo, she got staying power.
But I don't think it was assigned to us. It was just like, here's a pamphlet. Here's just a pamphlet about basically that kind of sums up. Because it was before like Cliff Notes or whatever they're called now.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, this happened and then this happened. Like, I don't, history was taught so poorly to us.
It's good to see you own that, Shai. Thank you for not leaving me alone.
No, I wasn't going to leave you alone. That is wild, though. Like, I definitely remember more about Helen Keller.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe because that happened in a neighboring southern state. Like, I feel like she was in Mississippi or Alabama or some shit like that. So maybe there was more of a Southern pride with that than there was with Anne Frank. I don't know. We're really unpacking some stuff here today.
I confused those two women a lot growing up until like maybe now. I'm sure I could count it on both hands, but I know for a fact I have on more than one occasion Googled Helen Keller versus Anne Frank. Like,
not versus. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, who, what's the situation?
Who would win?
Who would win? You know what I mean? Who got the realer struggle? Who got the better book? You know?
Wow.
So yeah,
wow.
I've like looked it up often and it's helped me tell them apart.
I can't, man. You know? I can't believe they let us speak in public.
That's how you learn, okay?
Yeah. I guess so. Boy, I hope our troops and correspondents are still with us. I hope they haven't gone. I can't with these two.
I'm excited because I know I'm going to get some like really dope like Helen Keller and Anne Frank history sent my way. I get every time I say something completely off base, somebody sends me a correction with like data points and like reference articles, and I'm a better person for it. You know what I mean?
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
What did I say? I said something out of pocket on the podcast that got corrected. I want to say 15 minutes after I posted the episode, it was recent too, like 2 months back. I said something about like, I forget what type of alcohol I said. I think it's like a stimulant. And
oh, okay,
like somebody corrected it on the video like 15 minutes later.
Oh, that's so
like,
funny.
I had like four people DM me articles about what I was trying to say.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was like, yo, this is impressive, B. Like, we got smart listeners.
That's good. I'm glad you guys are out there and willing to correct us, because I am very open in how I know nothing.
Listen, I am trying to improve as a person openly, regularly.
I mean, I'm glad they're correcting you because you have children.
Yeah, I'm spreading that information to generations, you know?
Yeah, no one's listening to me. Yo. I'm just...
one thing you will not see is like you won't catch me getting out of pocket on a correction. Like if you school me on something and I know I don't know, you ain't gonna hear me be like, nah, B, I'm genuinely happy to learn some new info all the time. Every time, all them DMs, I promise you get like hearts, smiley faces, and thank you responses. Every time somebody responds, I say, yo, good luck, since I was not informed.
Anytime I say something that I'm not 100% about, I'm always like, hey, let me know if I'm wrong, because I know I ain't right. So just please let me know where I've messed up.
There you go. So, you know, Helen Keller, Anne Frank, different women, you know, solid books, you know, I look into them. Bestsellers, I believe.
That's merch. Helen Keller, Anne Frank, different women.
You know,
write it down.
Both worth knowing. You know, look into it. Solid stories. You know,
solid stories for women. Solid stories. Oh my gosh!
In other news, a paralyzed man walks again using implants connecting his brains with the spinal cord. 40-year-old man whose legs were paralyzed in a cycling accident 12 years ago can walk again thanks to implants in his brain and spinal cord. The brain-spine interface, the BSI, has remained stable for a year, allowing Gert Jan Oskam to stand, walk, climb stairs, and traverse complex terrains, according to a study published on Wednesday this week in the Journal of Nature. Oskam even regained some control over his legs when the BSI is turned off. My wish was to walk again, and I believe it was possible, Oskam said during the news briefing. Oskam was in an accident in China and thought he would be able to get help, the help he needed when he got home to Netherlands, but the technology wasn't advanced enough for it at the time. Oskam previously participated in a trial by Grigor Cortin, a neuroscientist at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, who also worked on the new research, according to the study authors. In 2018, Cortin's team found the technology that can stimulate the lower spine and help people with these spinal cord injuries walk again. After 3 years, Oskam's improvements plateaued.
Huh.
But he's out there now.
He is now able to walk at least 100 meters or roughly 328 feet or more at once, depending on the day.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So there's hardware that he needs.
Yeah.
To run it, and he carries it on a backpack. So he's got machines attached to him that just help him walk.
Yeah, he has like a book bag on. He has something on his head that's like, it looks like the inner lining of a fitted baseball cap.
Okay.
And then he has, it looks like he has one arm support that he's he has like he has a walker that he can occasionally use with wheels on it. But I've also seen him step away from that with a one arm walker kind of thing. Like a walking stick, pardon me. But yeah, I think this is dope. Like, only cause like I would have assumed the technology to do this would have been more cumbersome. Like if he puts on a baseball cap, he looks like pretty incognito, like with this situation, right? Like the book bag, I don't know how heavy it is, but it doesn't seem like bulky. You know, like I've seen photographers with bigger bags. The head cap thing, you put on a baseball cap, you covered, you good. You know?
Yeah. I mean, good for this guy.
Yeah, I think this is dope. This is the future. We are slowly getting to a place where like everything is fixable.
Oh, I don't know about everything.
No?
Nah, I'm trying to see what else they want to do with this. Because I mean, a spinal cord injury is kind of like, you're done, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the most severe, and he's back to walking. You know?
A study published by Nature in February found that targeted electrical pulses delivered to spinal cord can help improve arm and hand movement after a stroke.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm just excited
that with time and resources, they can use this advancement to help stroke patients.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a comeback. Like, we're going to have people walk in the damn walk before, you know, and then like it'll slowly trickle down to like regular situation stuff, you know? Like, you know how like, I don't know about you, but like my ankle ain't the same no more. So like it works fully, but like I got to like rotate it for like 20 minutes in the morning, you know? Maybe it'll get to the point to where like that's not a thing anymore, you know? Like right now the technology is focused on big things like, I wear this book bag and this hat, and you could walk if you had a spinal injury. That's today. They focused on the big injury. Eventually, they'll master the big injury, and they're like, okay, like, now we can make this consumer-friendly. You know, like, yo, put on these Nikes with this technology, and now you don't got to, like, stretch your ankle before the game.
Okay. Well, first of all, you would rather put on gear than just stretch?
Hell yes. You put the gear on once.
No, okay, just, that's wild.
At least before like the games, like, oh yo, we got softball Saturday. All right, let me put on my book bag, you know?
Yeah. And I go out there and play like I was 22. I mean, I guess sure, but I would rather that technology go for really people who are really going through a thing. If it's just you don't feel like stretching, so you'd rather squeeze your foot into some too tight Nikes. Sorry, everyone. Nikes are too small and they're uncomfortable and you've all been had. side note. But yeah, like when you could just stretch, I mean, you could just stretch.
But that's what I'm saying, they should go first. I'm not denying it. Oh, I don't want to be the focus.
So fix them first
and then consumer.
And then let it trickle down to the people, the unstretchable.
Exactly. You know?
Okay.
I should be the target demo in like 2130. Like maybe I don't live this dream, but my son's son.
Someone does.
He
okay.
does, you know? He gets to do this, you know?
All right. Well, I mean, I get it. I don't know if I need it to trickle down quite that far unless there's some sort of real issue with you stretching. If it's just because you don't like stretching and it's easy to just put on a backpack and run with a backpack, then you're insane. But you know.
I'm all about this, okay?
Yeah.
Put everything in my backpack. It'll make me better. It'll be fantastic. I'll be with it. Yo, Gasol's moving day.
Well,
yo,
I hope the backpack. Then you're okay with having a thing strapped to your back when you pull all those muscles from carrying around all the machinery because you just didn't feel like stretching. But no, I get it. For everyone else, yay. But now this is for Gastor. Nah, man, I'm going to be around and make you stretch.
Oh, man. In other news, a Missouri nun's body seems intact. 4 years after she was buried, pilgrims are flocking to her remains and calling it a miracle. Okay. The recently exhumed body of a Missouri nun is attracting the influx of hundreds of pilgrims after the corpse was remarkably discovered intact 4 years with no signs of decomposition. Some have described the revelation of the preserved remains of Sister Will Helminia Lancaster as a miracle in Missouri. Lancaster, the founder of the Benedict Sisters of Mary, Queen of Apostles, died in 2019 at the age of 95. Her body was not embalmed and was buried in a wooden coffin in Gower, Missouri. Last week, 4 years after Lancaster's death, the Benedict Sisters decided to unearth Lancaster's body to move her remains under the altar in their convent's chapel, as is customary for her founders, according to the Catholic news agency. The sisters were reportedly stunned when they opened the coffin, which even had a crack down the middle. We were told by the cemetery personnel to expect just bones and the conditions, as Sister Wilhelmina was buried without embalming and in a simple wooden coffin. The sister told the news outlet that when Mother Abbess Cecilia peered through the crack in the coffin, she saw a totally intact foot with the sock on, looking just like it did when we had buried her. She could not help but scream with joy, the sister said. It's a weird response to that, I think, right?
That is, she could not help?
Yeah, that's
and all. You think that scream was from joy?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a, I don't know if that's the descriptor. When the sisters realized Lancaster's body was still totally intact, they took turns feeling the still socked feet, the nun told Newsweek. The dirt that fell in early on had pushed down on her facial features, especially the right eye. So we did place a wax mask over it. But her eyelashes, hair, eyebrows, nose, and lips were all present, and her mouth just about to smile, the sister said. Lancaster's body will be displayed in the Sisters Chapel in Gower until the end of this month, May. So just miss your chance to catch it. When this episode comes out. And then it will be encased in glass. Yeah, what? this is wild.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the first thing that struck me. I add articles to our list of things to talk about as people send them in. I don't know if the troops kind of got together and said, "Yo, like, let's send in as many potentially trips and falls for gas stores possible with these first couple articles. See if they catch them saying something crazy about an exhumed nun or a paralyzed walker, but you ain't gonna get me, okay?"
Wait, so do you think you've been set up?
A little bit, yeah. These feel like very like niche stories with like super strong supportive groups, if I say the wrong thing. It's just innately I'm excited about all these situations. So like you ain't gonna catch me out of pocket.
Who's the group that you're worried about offending talking about the nun that didn't decay?
I def think there's like overly excited Christian groups that would think like, "Yo, you disrespecting this miracle here that happened." That while I do think it's very wild, I'm sure there's a science explanation.
Do you? Is it possible that she was buried alive?
I think that would be a science explanation. Yo.
Is it possible that maybe own girl was asleep? And they were like, "Nah, she's 95. She's done."
Yo. Yo, also, shot, this got dark.
If she wasn't a nun all her life, is it possible that she did enough drugs early in her life to practically be embalmed? Or she ate enough food with preservatives?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I don't know. It could be many things.
Yo, real talk, I'm gonna have like some wild like skin preservation like requests when I die. Like, yo, bury me in cocoa butter, you know?
I mean,
want to glisten.
They will just, honestly, they'll just add a glaze. It'll be a glaze. It won't be cocoa butter. It'll be some sort of glaze.
I want to shine just forever.
Yeah, they'll put something on you. They'll shellac you. They'll shine you. It'll be like a wax.
Once a year, I want my body taken out and have somebody rub their fingers against my skin to make sure it's still moisturized.
Okay. No, well, you literally just started using lotion a year and a half ago.
With pride, okay? All right? I'm going to make up for the 30-some-odd years I didn't use lotion
by doing it afterwards. You can't do that when you're gone. It doesn't. It's not a thing that you can keep accruing points once you're no longer putting lotion on. It doesn't work that way.
But yeah, like I think this stuff is unfair. Like, why are you doing this to these poor people in Missouri? Okay, like they just got internet in this town. You know, like
what's the unfair part?
Because like when crazy stuff like this happens, and it happens in a little town like that, like that's how like weird beliefs happen. You know, and like you got people that like believing like I don't know, like you get like what's like that town that had like the witches and whatnot.
Salem?
Yeah.
You get the witches like and whatnot.
You're learning a lot about how I process books in classes.
Salem with the witches and whatnot.
If that ain't on like the sign when you drive into that town, I don't know what should
be. Oh my God. I'm writing it down right now.
But like that whole town, all their beliefs, I feel like, took place because they didn't have access to other towns. Like, they didn't have, like, other information letting them know, like, you know, hey, don't burn that lady, you know? Or, like, oh, yeah, like, every woman that you put in the water.
I feel like everyone was burning women, though. I don't feel like it was only Salem. I feel like Salem had the most PR.
Okay, fair.
But I feel like they were probably, I feel like they were burning bitches all over the place.
Well, I feel like that's what's messed up about this. Like, stuff like this happens in these little towns. And then, like, that group of people believe that this is how normal things happen. They're going to be like, nah, be like, if you make it to 95 as a nun, you just stay fully composed forever.
No. Do you know what this is?
What's this?
I don't know if you remember where there was a time when the Virgin Mary showed up everywhere on toast.
Yeah.
In potato chips. Someone's shirt was draped in a way and there was a Virgin Mary, Jesus in a stick of butter. Like, you remember when folks were just like, biblical people were just showing up everywhere?
Yeah.
And we hadn't had shit like that in a minute. I dare say since the internet really, really, really popped off.
Yeah.
Early internet days, yes. But in the social media game, nah, I feel like since Facebook and them popped up, we had like a real good, you know, Virgin Mary and a candle, or
yeah, because there's no kids
Moses like and grease in a grease trap. Like, you know, we just hadn't had anything like that lately.
I was out there cleaning the gutters, and saw his face. You know,
yeah, so you I know, and now everybody's got to make a pilgrimage to some house, you know, in the Midwest because Moses is in the gutter.
Why are we in Wyoming, Dad? Jesus is here. You know?
Yeah. So I kind of, it's a throwback. It's a throwback.
Yo.
To me. A nun that didn't decay? Come on.
Yo.
We hadn't seen shit like that in a minute.
Real talk. Yo, if they ain't a TikTok video with this nun, yeah, I'm hurt.
I don't want them to make her dance or nothing. But I think, I do think that it's time to go ahead, put her in glass. Put her in glass. Fucking put up a bucket for any sort of donations. Let's do it. Let's do it like we used to, you know? Let's have the news folk come out. Absolutely. Let's rock this. Let's rock this like it's 1996.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's really do it.
I like
I'm
that.
I'm here for it.
Let's take it back.
I'm here for like bringing back biblical people. In everyday things, or just, you know, like we're out of miracles. We're low on miracles.
Yo.
Because everybody wants to debunk it. Maybe there's nothing to debunk. Maybe this is just
it happened.
Mary in a piece of toast.
I gotta tell you, that's deep. I'm with that.
Yeah. Yo. I think it's time. Bring back stupid miracles.
Low key, all miracles were stupid, for the record. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy they took place, but like none of them was like for real.
I don't know. I mean, if it's like a miracle that happened to a person that helped them out in a good way, that's great. But I mean, this is just like, who does this serve? The nuns?
Who's praying for this?
Like, But they can't like charge admission, but they can put up a give, you know, pay what you can. Like they're the Guggenheim or some shit.
So we got a new Patreon, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you want extra content. Because none is giving it to you.
Oh, that's fire. Oh, yeah. Yo, sign up for St. Mary's new podcast. Hosted silently by this nun. Yeah, I'm with that. Jesus Christ.
I think just bring it back. Just bring back.
Bring
the
it back. Play some,
bring it back. It's
play
time.
Some mace when it, people walk in. I think it'd be good. I'm with that. In other news, woman accused of breaking into a restaurant to make a salad ruined $500 worth of food. That's right. Woman was arrested after being accused of breaking into a restaurant over the weekend. According to a warrant, Rome police officers were called to Harvest Moon Cafe about a woman who had entered the store. Police said the 23-year-old Callie Elizabeth Thweet somehow got inside the restaurant after it had been closed and opened the food coolers. Thweet then made a salad. Officers said she touched several food items with bare hands, rendering those ingredients no good. The official said the total value of the food items was $500. Authorities did not specify what ingredients Thweet put in her salad. She was charged with theft by taking.
What do we think? Okay, first of all, what do we think the ratio was of drunk to high? Do we think she was mostly drunk? Do we think that she was mostly high? Huh. Or do we think it's a combination of the two?
I'm leaning both, but more high.
More high.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's not enough property damage, in my opinion.
For drunk.
For drunk.
Yes.
Like, it would have been a louder break-in. The fact that she, like, got in stealth enough that no one noticed until, like, the next day or the damage, that's, like, high, like, thought process went into that. Drunk thinking doesn't do that.
I mean, a little drunk does. High, I mean, I feel like weed high, she could have been distracted by another food.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like when you're hungry and you're like, I need to have a salad or whatever. But she could have walked by someplace or driven or seen something else and just eaten a bunch of that, you know? But drunk gives you the extra oomph to just go, I'm just going to go in this fucking salad place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my salad. Now, it didn't specify what her ingredients were.
That would have
been. But I bet that if you showed a picture of her to anybody who works at that salad place and they were like, this woman broke in, what do you think she did? I bet all those employees could name exactly what the salad was, everything, how much dressing she liked on it, whether she liked it chopped or not, she got bread.
Respect. You know, this is something that I've actually complained about societally. You know what I mean? There is a lack of 24-hour healthy food options.
Mm.
Like, there's fast food, there's chains of restaurants that, like, even if they're, like, fake healthy, but they give the illusion of health.
Right.
None of them are open past 11. Like Panera Bread. You could maybe find a Starbucks that'll do a midnight. But like anything,
but they're not healthy. That's just coffee.
Granted, but they got like a, like if I wanted a egg white bacon, egg and cheese with turkey bacon, they got it.
Okay,
there.
I love that you think that that's what healthy is.
Oh, I'm trying.
An egg white bacon, egg and cheese.
I'm trying, Sha. Okay.
I know.
It's the growth. I did turkey bacon. They got a egg white, turkey bacon, and Swiss cheese, reduced fat.
Oh my God. Okay.
You know? That's me saying, yo, the deli, you gonna kill me if I do you every day. I gotta start here. You know, Panera Bread, I get my salad. I don't like the name of it because I don't feel like it's tough enough for me.
What but is the name is of the
kinda,
salad?
It is kind
of
tough overall.
What is the name of the salad?
I love the Greek goddess.
That's the kind you get? You get the Greek goddess 100%.
I rock with that heavy. You know what
because
I mean?
Because of the salad dressing.
Yeah, it has like a green avocado thing.
Yeah, the salad. There's a Greek goddess salad dressing. Yeah. Or just goddess salad dressing anyway.
Yeah, I feel like it's very much not targeted for me. You know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I feel like when I order it, like the person behind the counter be like, yo, this
nope,
for you?
That's all your head.
Yeah.
Everyone likes that goddess salad dressing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's made by a goddess and not like for a goddess.
No, yeah, it's just, yeah, if that helps you,
yeah.
Made by a goddess.
Okay, I could do that now. Okay. Yo, real talk, I was having Gabby order it for me for years.
Oh, like, my God.
Yo, Shorty, you got to put this in. Like, I would, like, when I went in by myself, I would always order two things and say, and I would find a way to say my wife, just so that, like, they could think it was hers, but it was mine.
Gas store where it's the year 2023.
I'm not saying these are good things about me. I'm saying I'm working on them. I'm expressing right. them publicly. These
okay.
are faults of mine. But
okay, good.
When I want to eat healthy, I don't have those options at that time. White Castle,
right.
24 hours. McDonald's drive-thru, 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Crown Fried Chicken, 24 hours. Like, where they close from 4 to 6 a.m. I think you can give them that. No, that's impressive, you know?
Right. Same with Checkers.
Right. Exactly. Like they literally just need to like mop the floor. You know, they're like, all right, I got to leave for a little bit. But like these places that I know are trash for my body, they're mm-hmm. available for me, you mm-hmm. know? And this woman, this poor woman.
No, come on.
Had to break into this restaurant because she knew to recharge her battery fully. She needed, you know, the antioxidants. She needed fiber. You know, so she's like, I need a salad. I can't come out here getting, you know, like some drive-thru Big Mac. I need
okay.
something pure.
What she needs to do is learn how to make a salad at the house.
That's fair. That's fair.
A salad? Bitch, you picked a lock for a salad? Get out of here. You look, okay. I agree that there are no 24-hour. I would love if Sweet Green was open.
Yeah. So,
in the middle of the night, that honestly would probably hit. But here's what I have on those rare, that one night a year that I want a salad at midnight. I got salad in a plastic container in my refrigerator at all times. I always okay. do. Do I eat it? Hardly ever, but I always replenish it. Always. And I have salad dressings that I like.
Okay.
If I need a salad, I can put greens in a bowl with some salad dressing, mix that up and eat it and be fine. If you don't know how to do this at the big age of 23, baby, what is we doing? And granted, look, I'm sure that the Harvest, whatever this place was called, it's always Harvest something or other. I'm sure. And I know this is a college student because it's Rome, it's Berry College. Y'all don't know how to do nothing up there. Ooh, I'm gonna have Berry College students after me. But look, I get it. But come on now. You have to go into the restaurant, which means you got to chop all that up. That's what she did. She went in there and she opened. She went through all the stuff. You could have had all this. They sell salad bags of salad with all of the little ingredient, the little croutons, the salad dressing, the little whatever.
Yeah.
All in there in little pouches.
Oh,
and make it as easy as possible. Just open the bag carefully. Pour all that shit in the bag. Shake it up. Eat it out with your fingers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's meant for potheads like you. They probably even have them at a QT. At a Quick Trip. You could go. I'm sure you could go to Racetrack and find a fucking salad in the bag. You're just being extra, young lady. That's what you were being.
Did
That's
she even pay?
Was. Did she pay? No, of course not.
That would have helped the story. Like, listen, this is about $15 normally. You know, like I'm gonna leave that on the counter. You
yeah.
know?
No, she just wanted her Harvest Moon Cafe salad. And
yeah.
I'm like, look, it's not gonna be the same as when their loving hands touch it, but you still could go. And I know that the grocery stores are no longer 24 hours. And I weep with you. I weep with you that there are no, that Kroger is now closed by like 11 or some shit.
Yeah, which
that fucking hurts my heart. There's a whole world that happens in the middle of the night. I was a part of that world. And we needed a grocery store to keep up with us. And that's what Kroger used to do. And now you just out there lost. But like, I don't know. You didn't have to break into the Harvest Moon Cafe for a little salad pick. You really didn't have to do that.
They didn't deserve that.
And I swear to you, I bet everybody there knew it was exactly who it is. They probably came in, saw what was touched, and was like, wonder if that bitch, you know, the one she always gets the, yeah, ain't this all the stuff she get? I bet that's who did this.
She's been talking about how she knew how to break in here, you know?
Yeah. She probably left her phone, too. She probably took pictures of herself making the thing. Kids, I don't understand you kids.
Googling the recipe. How do I make this salad from Harvest?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. And they probably already had pre-made salads in a cooler somewhere. Is what you hate. There probably is a display case with those salads already ready, and this bitch went into the walk-in. Chopped up romaine. Oh, man.
What do I do with these kids, man?
I don't know.
Finally, Asiana Airlines passenger was arrested for opening a plane door during a South Korea flight. That's right, a man has been arrested for opening a door of an Asiana Asiana Airlines flight as it was landing in South Korea. Is it Asiana or Asiana?
Maybe it's Asiana.
Asiana.
Who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm making it too Spanish, and it's an Asian airline,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably. But you know, it's all the same language.
We trying, baby. You know,
it's all the language of love. It's not. That's not romantic languages at all. Anyway,
all 194 passengers survived the flight, which landed safely, but with its doors still open at Daegu International Airport. Some passengers fainted, while others had breathing problems and were taken to the hospital. The man in his 30s said he was feeling suffocated and wanted to get off quickly. Police said the man claimed during questioning that he was stressed after losing his job. He is mentally struggling right now and is losing his footing. We could not investigate him properly due to his state, said a local police officer. Flight OZ-8124, an Airbus A321-200 jet, had taken off from Jeju Island on Friday at 11:45 local time. As it was landing, about an hour later, a male passenger opened the emergency door while the plane was still 250 meters from the ground. Passenger's video shared on social media shows the gap in the left-hand side of the plane and winds buffeting rows of seated passengers. Flight attendants had not been able to stop him because the plane was about to land, witnesses recounted to local media. He said the man had also tried to jump out of the plane after opening the door. Passengers have described the panic on board. It was chaos with people close to the door appearing to faint one by one and flight attendants calling out for doctors on board through broadcasting. I thought the plane was blowing up. I thought I was going to die like this. Someone added, several school-aged children had also been on board on their way to a weekend sporting event. The mother of one of the students told Yonhap the children were shaking, crying, and frightened. Yo.
Huh. Okay. Like I mentioned, I went to Portland and came back. On my way back, I bought my own ticket to get back early. And the available seating were all exit row seats. Like, there was hardly anyone on the exit rows. Like, I guess if we were going to go down, it was just going to be me and this other woman in charge of those doors. I haven't been in an exit row in a while.
Okay.
Because they actually charge you more for an exit row seat for the extra leg room.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Because they also demand that you verbally say that you are of sound mind and body to help people off a plane. And you got to pay just because you want to stretch your legs out a little bit. Now you got to also declare, you got to put one hand on a Bible and say, I promise that all these people will stay alive as long as I'm in this seat. It's not fair. So I hadn't been in one in a minute. I'm like, I'm okay with cramping. I wear compression socks. I'll be fine. So I had a window seat. But that meant I was looking out the window of the door, of the exit door.
Oh, my God.
But it has a little handle that you have to, like, if you needed to, lift up and break out and then pull down and then push or do whatever to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I was had the urge to do that a lot.
Okay.
But on the that side, there's no armrest. There's just the part of the door that kind of sticks out. It feels a little bit like an armrest. So you kind of rest your arm on it, but then you're like, oh wait, is that a latch? Like, what are we doing? So I'm just saying it's a lot of pressure. And maybe don't believe people when they're like, yeah, no, I can help.
I was telling the lady, like, I love that role because of my height and size, and like I like the leg room, but like I've always offered to like tackle anyone when it comes to the door, like that's my thing. I'm like, listen, there's way, way, way higher chance that someone's gonna be disrespectful about the door than this plane is going down.
Right.
So I've tackled a lot of people in my day, you know. Not only yes, will I help people getting out, but I will keep people in. You know, somebody tells you that, hey, they need to get off the plane. They're going to try to charge this door. I promise you, I will charge them first. That's my commitment to the door.
You to say yes. You say all of this. And they're like, sir, we just need you to say yes. Nah. We can't take off until you say yes.
I got a speech ready. I'm volunteering. Like, hey.
Yeah, you know, had to do all that.
Tell the air marshal I got my own gun. I'm ready. You know, packing.
So I get being stressed out.
Yeah.
But I also kind of don't want to touch anything. I'm not going to try to get out while the thing, you know. But they said he was in a very fragile state.
Yeah, man. I genuinely feel for these people. Like, this is a crazy ordeal to go through. I feel for homie. Job market is crazy.
I thought you meant the people on the plane who suddenly saw a hole in the plane and didn't know what was going on.
Them the most.
Yeah, that's who I feel for, because that's like a nightmare of mine.
Yeah.
It's just a sudden hole. Even if we are landing.
How do you compensate for that? Like, that's really my real, like when you land, I don't know how you complain, but you got to get something free. Right? Like the airline, like how do they comp you? Like, you know, because every comp feels like another threat. Like, oh, well, you want me to get back on the plane where you let somebody open the door at the last time? You know, like.
Well, they were landing. So once they got down, they were like, well, I mean, we got to here. It's probably just.
Asiana Airlines, we got you here, you know. If you would like. To book a flight on our new airlines, Asiana Airlines, we got you here. Now traveling all over the world, almost. Literally every flight, we almost get you there over and over again. We make it 250 meters from every destination. We almost get to the most places in the world, you know? If you would like to support this airline and buy tickets, all you got to do is like subscribe to the show, baby. You know what I mean? Apple and Spotify listeners, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars. You all greedy trying to get to the whole place, you know, like not near the place isn't good enough for you, you know? Okay. Who are you? You've been spoiled by planes that land with doors closed. Come on, B. The nerve of you. 5 stars. You understand, okay, that we got things to do too. And sometimes doors need to open 250 feet early. Okay. That's just how he cooled off the plane, okay?
Oh, no. If you give us four stars, I understand.
If you have any articles you want us to cover, please DM us directly on Twitter or Instagram at Silky Jumbo, at Gastromonte. Shout outs this week to This Is Des, Lori McDaniel, Blended Reality, Black Girl, Green World, and Shannon Lemoyne for sending in awesome articles that admittedly felt like y'all were trying to set me up this week. But I appreciate it. You know what I mean? I tap danced around all of those as best as I could, but I know I'm very much canceled this whole episode. With all that said, I am the excited to protect and help on the airplane, Gastromonte, you know, with the sitting next to me but never actually helping.
Nope.
At the exit row, Shalay was sharp.
Nope. Well, I'm not helping.
This has been a crash-tested episode of The War Report. You know what I mean? We ready. Catch y'all next time. Peace.